Father, we welcome you into this house and this night. Precious Spirit of the Most High, Lord, I pray, Lord, that we are here to encounter you. Father, we're here to encounter the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the Great I Am. And Father, with every breath that is in our being, we still declare that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. Father, he's not Lord of some, he's Lord of all. He is the King. He is the Lord. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that every knee shall bow, every tongue shall submit, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. And Lord, I pray for us all in this night that our faith will arise once again, that we may believe, Lord, that all things are possible. We may believe, Lord, because we are deeply loved by you. Lord, no thing is impossible, Lord. Nothing is not possible, but all things are possible for the man and the woman that believes. And Lord, so we pray this night, Lord, that you will come into this place, flood this atmosphere of your grace, flood this atmosphere of your love, Lord, of your Spirit. Lord, we may understand, that we may comprehend. Lord, as Paul said through Romans 8, 37 to 39, Lord, no height, no depth, no angel, no demon, no principality, no power, no anything shall separate us from the great love that's in Christ Jesus for us all. And Father, I pray by your Spirit, Romans 5, 5, that you will shed abroad in this night, that you will convince your people, Father, that because of your great love, Lord, there's nothing that you won't do. You are ready to do all things, Father. And I pray that our faith will arise in this night, that we may believe that you are ready to do as faith is now, always. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people shout, amen and amen. Come on, won't you give Jesus Christ a shout of praise? Come on, Encounter Church, give the Lord a shout of praise. Amen and amen. You're welcome to be seated. Well, it's always awesome to be back at home, I guess. It feels like home for me. And it's always an honor to be with my friend and to be with Leon and Esteli and all of you guys. You know that I don't take it lightly to stand on another man's pulpit, because each man is responsible for his own people. And such an honor to be friends in the ministry. It's a rare thing. But it's such an honor and such a blessing for me just to be once again here. Can I just tell you, ECC absolutely rocks. I love this church. I told Chris just in there, you know, I had more than like 70 invitations this year. I turned all of them down. I don't want to take invitations because I want to stay at home. But there's one invitation that I never skip, and it's this one. I love this church. I love your pastors. I love your people. And I must just say that I really love you. You are awesome. You know, there's something about ECC that I love. And it's this, that you can be yourself here and not get judged. There's something very unusual about that. And I came here tonight because God wants to do miracles. And that's the easiest part of my ministry, because I'm not doing it, He's doing it. So, and I believe that there's people here tonight, you need a breakthrough, you need God to come through for you. And I'm telling you tonight that you're going to get what you came for. You're going to get what you came for. And so, won't you quickly, I'm just going to throw out two principles for you, really, in Numbers chapter number 13, verse number 2. And I want to speak to you just very quickly about audacious faith, and I want to speak to you about how to have a scandalous faith. And I believe that God wants to deposit something in your heart, because faith is the underscore of everything we are and everything we believe. I taught a little bit on this morning at my home church, and I felt it so important for where we are. I believe that we are in a generation now that's going to see the glory of God and the power of God like never before. I believe that there's a people on the planet, and I think it's you, I think it's me, that we have a tenacity. We look a little bit weird, we're full of piercings and tattoos, and that's all good and all okay, because I believe God's going to do something unusual. There's something unusual in our generation, and I believe it's for the glory of the Lord. And so that's why I celebrate this church, because it's different. And I said to Leon during this week, I said to him, you know, where you guys are at, it's a phenomenal place. You know, so quickly. It's really, you guys are rewriting the books on church growth. I can just tell you that. So, oh, won't you give Jesus some honor for that? That's awesome. That's awesome. All glory to God. Amen. You've got good, good pastors. Faithful people. In Numbers 13, verses 2, God gives a command to the Israelites. He says to them about Canaan, he says, this was, send spies out to the land which I am giving to the children of Israel. For each tribe of your, from each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, every one a leader among them. So just listen again. Send men to spy the land of Canaan, which I'm giving to the children of Israel. From each tribe, I want a leader, God says. And then verse 27 to 30, I'll just quote it for you. Verse 27 to 30, the spies go into the land. They go look at the land, and they come back with a report. 10 of the spies says, this is impossible. We can't do this. We can't take the land. And as I studied it, God is really taking me just on a journey of faith and just seeing, because we've recorded in the last three Tuesdays, we documented 46 supernatural miracles where God just did things supernaturally. And when I say document, I say it's proven, it's fact. This is not some hearsay stuff that you find on Facebook. This is documented, it's true. So God tells the people of Israel, listen, I'm giving you Canaan. I'm giving you a land filled of milk and honey. In other words, he says, I give it to you. But the people of Israel, they don't listen to the command of the Lord. They don't understand that he gives it. And you need to know something about your Bible. Everything starts with understanding. When you have understanding, you get knowledge. When you have knowledge, you get faith. And you need faith, because without faith, there's impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:6. So these guys go and they go spy out the land, and they come back with a report. And they say, listen, the giants are there. This is too much. The descendants of Anak is there, according to Numbers 13, 27 to 30. They say everything is full. There's people everywhere. They kind of bring the first fruit, which is where the grapes, which is quite significant. They bring the first fruit. And they say there's giants there. And 10 of the 12 says it's impossible. We can't take the land. And when I read that, the Lord started to speak to me. He said that, but I've never asked him for their opinion. I never asked him to give me a report. I said to them, go check the land out, because this is what I want to give you. In other words, God was not looking for an opinion. God was not looking for a report. God was just sending the 12 spies to show them what is in store for them. In other words, he wanted to show them the blessing. He wanted to show them the prosperity. He wanted to show them the abundance. And 10 people comes back with religious spirits, and they say it's impossible. There's giants there. But there's two men that are different. And I love Caleb in verse 30. He says this. He says, we need to go up and possess the land, because we are more than able. More than able. And as I studied these scriptures, the Lord started to speak to him. And I'm on a faith journey now, because everything in my life is at faith at this stage, even in my own household at this stage. And as I studied this, the Lord said this to me. He said, you need to understand that my son, he calls me my boy when I speak to him. He says, my boy, you need to understand that the giants were never the owners of the land. They were the caretakers of the land. And when he said that, he said this to me. He said, you need to understand, I will use your enemy to prepare and till the land for you. Because that's what happened. The giants tilled the land. The giants prepared the land. The Israelites didn't prepare it for that size of grapes. The Bible says the grape was so big, two men needed to carry it. That's huge. So it wasn't the giant. Listen, the giants were the caretakers. The giants were not the owners of the land. That's the owners, and that's the difference. They're not the owners. They are the caretakers. In other words, they were waiting there for the people of God. And as I read this, God started to speak to me more. And he said to me, you need to know that my people went with a tomorrow attitude. They have, because in the Christian church today, in the Christian world today, there's so many people that have a tomorrow attitude. God will come through for me tomorrow. God will come through for me the next day. God will heal me next week. God will heal me next month. But the scripture says, now faith is. Hebrews 11:1. So everything according to God is now. Okay? Stay with me. If everything is now, that means God is not within our time zone. He's outside of our time zone. And if you can get, it's like the Lord said to me on Tuesday. He said, you need to know I'm outside of your time zone. I said, what does that mean? He says, everything is ready now. He said, son, you are bound to time. You are bound to time. Not me. You. And if you can believe that everything is ready now, you can access everything and anything now. And I said to God, what does that mean? He said, when my son said to you, I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, I meant that. That means a son can, listen, a son do not need to ask for permission to enter the house of his father because he has earned the entrance by birthright. If we get that in the natural, why are we applying something different of God? Why do we believe we need to beg God? Why do we believe we need to petition God the whole time? Where the scripture makes it clear that we are everything that Jesus Christ was made poor so that we might be made rich. In the natural, I don't go, and I said that this morning to my own church, I don't go and make an appointment to see my own dad. I walk in, I take what I want, and I leave. Why? It's my house. I grew up there. I'm a son. By birth and by blood, whatever is his is mine. If there's a loaf of bread, I don't care if there's one or two. I take what is there. Why? And by the way, if you know me, I don't go for bread. I take the best that there is. Why? I didn't pay for it. I didn't pay for it. I'm not going to. The same of Jesus. God paid through Jesus. You see, most Christians are still trying to pay for something that Jesus already paid for. And can I say to you, you can pray as much as you want, but if the prayer is not by faith, it means zippo. Because God cannot open a door by your petitioning. It's like, in actual fact, let me go just a little bit deeper. It's like somebody ringing your doorbell. It gets irritating after a while. Because sons don't ring doorbells. Sons walk through the door. You say to me, give out, where do you get that from? Well, the Bible says, Jesus says, I am the door. I am the gate. I am the entrance place. Whoever comes through me is a son forevermore. Once I'm a son and almost a son. When I go to my natural dad's house, I don't ring the bell. I show up and I take what I want because it's my dad's house. I've learned the same from the Lord. I go with the same attitude. You say, where do you get that in Scripture? Does the Bible not say, come to my throne of grace boldly, 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 in your time of need to obtain mercy? A bold person walks in and takes what is theirs and walks out. If we believe, listen, if we believe faith is a future thing, if we believe that faith is something that needs to produce something for us tomorrow, then you need to change the way you got reborn. Because you believe that the day you gave your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, that you got saved immediately. Right? You believe redemption was immediately. You believe salvation was immediate. When you believed God, when you said Jesus Christ is Lord, you believe that you are saved, correct? Now, that's true for salvation, which you receive when you were still God's enemy. Ephesians 2:5. You were dead in your trespasses and sins when He gave you Jesus. When He gave you salvation by the ounce of your faith, when you were still His enemy. Why do we believe something different now that we are sons and daughters of God when it comes to our healing, when it comes to breakthrough, when it comes to miracles, when it comes to financial blessing? Why do we believe something else? Because it's the same God, it's the same faith, who has moved. We have moved. We have changed our methodology because the world has taught us that. Satan said, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:4, I hope I'm right when I quote that 2:4:4, the God of this age has blinded the minds of the people. Why? Because you understand blinded hearts, blinded minds produces blinded hearts produces blinded eyes. Because you can only be what you see. If you can't see it, you can't be it. Let me say this in Scripture. God called Abram and he said to Abram, go to a country that you don't even know who's the architect of. The Bible says Abram didn't even pack. The boy just left. Just think about that. His family should have said, Abram, where are you going? I'm going where God says I must. Where to? I don't know. I'm going. How do you know it's God? Well, I heard a voice. That sounds crazy. Yet God honored that faith. Then Abram gave Abram a promise. I don't know if you know this out of Scripture, but God, Abram waited 25 years for Isaac. It wasn't an immediate thing. It was 25 years. Then Isaac came. And then God said, give me Isaac back. Makes no sense, but if you actually study original Hebrew, the Bible says, give me Isaac, I want to eat him. Give him back. And Abram went, ready to give him back. But there's something that your Bible, I don't know if some of you maybe missed this in your Scripture, but Abram had 6 more sons after Isaac. How does that work? It works like this. God is not interested in just blessing you once. God wants to bless you for a lifetime. I don't want His hand, and I don't know if I am in the right place tonight, but I don't want His hand upon me just tonight. I need His hand tomorrow upon me, the next day upon me, the next day upon me, the next day upon me, for 120 years until I have finished His task, until I finish His commandment. Then I want to go home. As I was thinking about this, the Lord said this to me. He said, son, when you grew up, people told you that a good age is 80, 90, then you can die. And many of us are still like that when we hear about people, you know, the Tani, she becomes 89 and she dies of cancer or whatever. We're like, oh, that's okay. The Lord came to me during this week into my room and He said this. He said, but I number the days of man 120. He said to me, why have you settled for something less? He says, Lord, what are you talking about? Because you need to understand just where I'm at. My mom is busy going. I'm seeing her in front of my eyes. I've prayed so many prayers. I've fasted myself. I can't get thinner. I went through a series this week where I needed to pray for my own father Wednesday night. I needed to get him back from the dead. It's not easy. And I said to God, I had it enough of sickness. That's why I'm here tonight. I will cast this devil out. I said, I had enough. Lord said to me, son, you don't subscribe to sickness. You don't subscribe to illness. I said, what do you mean, Lord? He said, you live out your days. And you say to yourself, not one virus, not one bacteria, not one anything will find your body. And so I said to my wife, we fell to our knees on Wednesday night and we made up our minds that sickness will not find me. Viruses will not find me. Bacteria will not find me. Why? I'm above and I'm not beneath. I'm more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Are you there? Ephesians 1:21 tells us that. It says, above all principalities, powers, and wickedness of high places, and every name that can be evoked, is Jesus seated. The Bible says, I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. So listen to me carefully tonight. We have to start to see the way God sees. Because you don't have a locational problem. We have a situational problem. Many of us are led according to our situation. Where you should be led according to your location. I've chosen a life that I'm led according to my location. Because where's God seated? God is seated. I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. I'm seated above all principality. power, wickedness of high places, above every name that can be evoked. Every name. Cancer is a name. It's beneath me. Any sickness, beneath me. And so the Lord said to me, He said, you have to start to live from this perspective, son. And this is what my wife and I, we made up our minds of. We will live out our days on this planet. We will fulfill the call. We will fulfill the assignment. We will fulfill the destiny. And I will go out healthy, strong, and in my youth. Come on, are you with me? What am I talking about? I'm talking about a now mentality. I don't want money tomorrow. I want it now. I said to the guys that are attacking me so fiercely about money, I said, listen, bless you. Bless you. But Jesus knows that, can I just say, for the if there is any religious spirit here, which I don't really think there is, but Jesus spoke about the kingdom first and foremost in your New Testament. The second thing He spoke most about is money. I was seeking God's face. I said to the Lord, Lord, why has the body of Christ rejected the message of prosperity? He said, because a few misrepresented me. And now the majority have rejected it. And by doing so, Satan has put the church into poverty. And I said to this dude on Facebook, because normally I don't even respond, I just block them these days because I get too many messages. I said to him, listen, my friend. I said, you don't fight over a dead man's cloak. If it's some cheap cloak. You don't appoint somebody to look after your money if you don't have a lot. But we have this mentality when we speak about money, the year of it, the people goes all weird. But when we drive on the highway, I said it to my son when we came here, I said, when we drive on the highway, we like to see nice things. God doesn't have a problem with nice things. He has got a problem with nice things having you. If you keep your loyalty in place, God doesn't mind what you drive. He doesn't care. It's going to stay here anyway. So if we believe, listen, we have to take, and I need to rush because I need to lay hands. We need to take this, that the giants are not the owners. It was amazing for me that Martin just spoke about giants when he took up the offering. The giants are not the owners. We are. Healing is mine. Prosperity is mine. Everything in the scripture. The Bible says it doesn't matter. 2 Corinthians 1:20. It doesn't matter how many of the promises is in Christ Jesus. All of them are yes and amen in Jesus. And so here's the revelation that I want you to catch tonight. Yes, Lord. In Genesis chapter number 2, verse number 7, won't you quickly put that up for me, please, the NIV if you have. Genesis chapter number 2, verse number 7, if you have that. If not, I'll just quote it. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. When I read this, the Lord spoke to me and He said this. He said, I took nothing and I made something. Okay, right, we believe that. Then the Lord said to me this. He said that now that you are born again, you once again have the breath of life dwelling inside of you. We have the Ruach, we have the breath, the Holy Spirit, He's inside of us. Okay? That means the very breath of the Almighty is inside of me. And that breath has got creative ability. And so as I was, I'm going to pray, I'm just laying a foundation because I need to pray for miracles tonight about healing. God said to me this, He said to me, you need to understand that when you ask me for healing, you're asking me for something lower than what I'm able to do. Because I can take clay and I can make it a living body. So you asking me just to heal your body is something way lower than what I can do. I said, Lord, what the hell is this? Is this a new thing? He said, no, son, I just want you to settle for more. And if I can provoke you tonight to say, settle for more. I don't look at what is impossible. I look at what is possible. There's things that are more possible. How do I know the scripture is true, folks? Because the Bible says that. Is that okay if I take my jacket off? I'm getting hot here. You guys don't mind tattoos, amen? Okay. So, then the Lord said this to me in John chapter number 9. The man comes to him blind. He's blind. Jesus spits on the ground. Spits. The word spit there is the word he spits. He takes that, he makes that, that's the scripture. He makes, because Bible interprets Bible. He takes that clay, he puts it on the man's eyes, and he says to the man, go to the pool of Siloam, which means sent. And the man goes and he washes his face and he sees. Now I want to unpack that just very quickly for you. Jesus says, I take the original mandate and I put clay again upon you and I give you the mandate as I gave to the church. Go into all the world. Go to the pool of Siloam. Go and so that you might see. The church will be able to see once again. If we believe in the creative ability of our God, if we believe that sickness, illness, poverty, bills, debt, all of this nonsense is not for us, but that there's a higher realm, and that's the God realm, and that's the realm I belong to, that's the realm you belong to. And we just need to make up our mind that we don't want to settle for anything less. Are you with me? We have to settle for the God kind. Then the Lord said this to me, and this is okay if I share this. I know Pastor Leon won't mind. Him and I, we spoke about this. Jesus said, you are a God. He said, if I call you gods, and when you study the psalm, the reason why he calls you a God is because when he breathed his breath of life into us, the Hebrew says, it's actually funny, but that's what it says. It says a duplicate. In other words, a, like Austin Martin's, a mini-me. We have to know that you have creative power inside of you. That's why when I breathe on people, I've been doing this for 15 years. That's why when I breathe on people, things change permanently. Why? Jesus did the same. He said to the disciples in John 20, he said, receive the Holy Spirit, and he breathed on them. That's why I know if I breathe on a situation, it has to change. Why? It's the Creator breath. It is the God breath. It is the God dimension inside of me. Are you there? Do you understand? Okay. Two more things that I'm going to lay hands. The Bible, Jesus said this to me. He said, if anything seems to be subduing you, that's the area that you're not applying faith. Because faith is a subduing force. Faith is not an intellectual fact, folks. Faith is a subduing force. How do I know that's true? Because when Moses stood in front of the Red Sea, by faith they passed through the Red Sea. Faith was literally moving the waters aside by the Ruach, by the breath of God. When Daniel went into the lion's den, the lions converted back to their original state because faith is a subduing force. When the Israelites stood in front of the walls of Jericho, God was already inside of Jericho, and so faith pushed down those walls. Why? Because faith is a subduing force. When the three boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, went to the fiery furnace, God was already waiting for them because the fourth man appeared, and the Bible says they didn't even smell like smoke. They didn't even smell like any of that stuff. Why? Faith is a subduing force. Peter didn't mind being crucified upside down because faith makes you do things for your master. It makes no sense. They tried, if you study the book of Revelation, they tried to boil John, the beloved disciple. But faith can't boil. If you feel that Satan has ever put you in a hot spot, John the beloved disciple was in a hottest spot that you would ever imagine. The Bible actually says that they literally, if you study history, they ask him to burn incense and to offer up prayer to the gods. And he just said no. And then they threw him into the cauldron, the boiling cauldron, literally waiting for him to boil. And your Bible says that John didn't boil. And after a while, he just climbed out. And he stood next to the pot. I'm not lying. This is literally what the scripture says. You can ask Pastor Leon. This is what the scripture says. He stood next to the pot. And I think if I remember, the Caesar of the day was I can't remember now exactly. But the Caesar of the day said this. They got so freaked out because this guy doesn't boil. They send him to the Isle of Patmos. And even then, Satan thought he had the end of John. But he was setting John up for the book of Revelations. Because if you put a man into a secluded place full of faith, that boy is going to get some revelation for you. I hope you snatch this tonight with me. That faith cannot be subdued. It cannot be suppressed. Whenever you suppress faith, it spreads. How do I know that's true? Because when they tried to suppress the early day church, it spread. Satan was thinking he's destroying. He was complementing the work of God. You see, when Satan had his final say on the cross and he thought that it was finished, God was already waiting inside of the tomb. Because faith subdues all things. It's not a principle. It is a force. When I came to my dad on the end of a story and I thought then we're going to lay hands. I came next to my dad's bed and the diagnosis is still not good. And I said to him, Dad, I'm tired of this hospital. I'm just tired. I said, you need to stand up. You need to stand up. You know why? Because there was a while back I lost one of my pastors. And he died and he went to be with the Lord. And we prayed for him and we prayed about 4.5 hours for him. I first didn't feel led to pray, but his wife asked us to pray, so we prayed. And then we brought him back. And he said this to us. He said, what are you doing? He said, release me. I'm like, okay. And he went. He gone. Phew. Back. I just prayed for 4.5 hours. And I learned something that night. And it's this, that God honors my will of faith, but God honors the believer's will just as much. He's not a violator. He's a gentleman. So when I came to my dad on Wednesday night, I said to him, listen, you need to tell me, are we done? Are we done? Are we done with the purpose and the plan? Or are we done? You know, it's so tough because I'm a spiritual son and I'm a physical son. I said, are we done? Because if we're done, I'm going to pray that. And then you're going to go. Talking about tough places, I'm living it. I said, but if we're not done, then you tell me. And then I'm going to pray. And then you're going to stand. And we're going to get out of here. Because as I walked into his hospital bed, my team was already waiting for me there. As I walked into his hospital room, spirit of death was standing next to his bed already. I always tell my team, don't phone me when you've got headaches. Phone me when you're in trouble. I'm the right man when you're in trouble. I'm not the guy to phone for the headaches. Phone the cell leader. And I mean that. So when I went in, I saw that spirit and I was watching that demon. Because Satan steals life. And as I stood there, I said, Dad, I need you to agree with me. And he's a man of faith, but I said, you have to give me your will. If you give me your will, I can get you out. But you have to agree. And he looked at me, and I think it's one of those sights that I think I'll never forget. He looked at me, my dad's got these piercing blue eyes. He looked at me and he said, it's not done. I said, well, if it's not done, then let's get out. And so I prayed for him. And you can ask my team that was there, there was an instant change. And then anyway, long story short, Satan hit back and hit back fiercely the next day. And he went into a very bad situation for about 6-7 days. We really thought I was fighting for him every day. And then Wednesday passed, I just had it. I came to his bedside, and they did an operation on Tuesday night. And he phoned me, he said, he's doing an operation and I need to come. I said, I can't come. I need to serve the people of God. I'll pray for you here because my prayer is just as effective here as next to your bed. And you might say, hey, that's disrespectful. No, it's not if you understand who you are. Because my prayer is as powerful here as next to a man's bed. And so the Wednesday arrived, and I'll really end of this. I want to lay hands. I arrived next to his hospital bed Wednesday past, and I said this, it's time to get out. You're going to stay? You don't want to stay. We need to get out. And I took him on his hand and I said this. I said, let's walk. And you need to understand, he couldn't walk. His legs were all swollen. He's got a deep vein thrombosis and it's life-threatening and all of that. I said to him, you have to stand. And he's a big guy. If he falls, he falls. And I took him by the hand and I said to him, stand. And he tried to say, hey, stand. And he stood. I said, now take the first step. You need to know it's a son's heart that's going out with faith. I said, first step. He took the first one. I said, second one, third one, fourth one. Come on. The nurses came running. I said to the nurses, wait where you are. He's walking. They froze up. They said, we need to help. I said, we don't need you. Jesus is helping him. He needs to walk. I said to him this. I said to him, while you're walking, let's go have a cappuccino. And that's literally what we did. We went to have a cappuccino. And make a long story short, the next day, he got out of hospital. You see, but we need to make up our minds that we are sons and daughters of the Most High. We don't need to settle for sickness, death, or decay. Because my Jesus, your Jesus, came for life and life abundantly. And I've made up my mind, I'm going to settle for that. I'm not going to settle for Satan or what he dictates or suggests. I'm going to settle for God and his report. But because by faith, we receive a good report. Amen. Last thought I'll leave with you. Let me pray. What you believe determines how you behave. And how you behave determines who you become. Let me say again. What you believe determines how you behave. And how you behave determines who you become. You see, God will not ask, and let me end with this saying, and then I'll pray, because there's people that came here for miracles, and you're going to get that tonight. God will not ask you for something you don't have, but many times He will ask you for everything you have. I can't tell you how many times in my life, how many times in my life He's asked me for everything when I had nothing. Like this morning, let me give you a quick, just a quick testimony. This morning I love watches and I love shoes. So just by the way, in heaven there's going to be much for me. But so this morning I was busy preaching and God spoke to me about a man. And when I tell you stuff like this, I lose my reward. So, but I already got some of it. So I had my most expensive watch on. And if you know me, that's quite expensive. And as I was, and I love this watch, so I bought it overseas. And as I had it on, God said to me, give it to that man. I looked at it. I'm like, hey, do you know which one is on? This is the nice one. And it's not this one, by the way. So don't lust here. Is that, I said, God, hey, choose somebody else, please. I didn't say that, but I thought that. He said, no, you give it. And I took my watch off and I gave it. And as I gave it, one of my spiritual sons were looking for me. And they phoned me, and I was busy on the phone of somebody else, and they phoned me and I couldn't take the call. I phoned back. He said he's quickly coming to my house, and he came to my house, gave me just a blessing again financially. And he gave me basically back that what I just gave and some. And God knows this is true. My PA sits here. I love baseball caps. I love the real stuff. I don't like this South African fake stuff. I like the real thing that you get in the US. And yesterday, God is my witness, I was searching for nice original baseball caps that I want. And I sent it to her. I said, go get this, order it, I want it. And here my spiritual son comes. He gives me not only money, but he gives me all the caps that I looked at the day before. Now listen, that might seem insignificant, but it's not. Because if God is interested in my caps, if God is interested in my caps, how much more is He not interested in my healing, in my blessing, in my prosperity? Are you there? How much more? How much more? Much more. And tonight, when we're going to go with Him, because we're going to go with Him now, is we're going to believe that it's ours. We're going to believe that God is not just able to do, He's willing to do. God doesn't just like you, He loves you. He loves you. And because you are deeply loved, He will heal you. He will restore you. And He will replenish what is taken back from you. Let me quickly take your seats. I'll end of this. I need to get off this poop at the end of it. Otherwise, I'll preach the whole day. You know what happens to you? If you put Jesus inside of you, you can't help yourself. But I'm under instruction here, so I need to finish at a certain time. So I want to just throw a principle at you. Within this church, you have the means. You have the means to do the supernatural naturally. Because that's the kind that you are. There's something unusual in encounter. And you have the DNA. This church has a DNA. And you can trust me, I've been around the block. I'm young, but I've been around the block. I've been in church for more than 30 years. I've seen it all. I've sat at my dad's legs at more church meetings than I can count. I've seen churches by the thousands, literally. But I haven't encountered a church of encounter. And if you can snatch, if you can take that God wants to do something unusual in Centurion, if you want to grab hold of the vision of your pastors and say, I'm here to give my life to the vision of this church, I promise you, you're going to go to places that you've never imagined or dreamt
possible. I'll end of this and I'm going to, then I'll read it ending now. And I'm going to make a call out. The Lord said to me during this week, I love to be educated. I am educated and I love to study. I study all the time. And so when I did my MBA, they taught us that you have to have goals and you have to have organizational goals and organizational perspectives and all these wonderful things. And during this week, I love how God simplifies stuff. He says, you know, son, Philippians 3 verses, I think it's 3:13 or 1:13. It's one of the two. He said, my vocabulary is not agendas and goals. Because I don't put any confidence in the flesh. The world talks like that. It says, my vocabulary is one word and one word only. And it is victory. I said, what do you mean, God? I said, don't put goals for your finances. Have victory in your finances. Don't have goals for your health. Take victory in your health. Don't have goals for where you want to be someday. I don't want to be there someday. I want to be there today. Come on, Encounter Church. Are you ready to take what is yours? Are you ready to take it today? Are you ready to take your healing now? Faith is now. Shout with me, faith is now. Say, I want it now. I want my healing now. I want my deliverance now. I want my millions now. 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 Come on, give Jesus Christ a praise of you. Father, in this atmosphere we pray that your Spirit will descend, Holy Father. Lord, as I lay hands on your precious people, I know that the time of deliverance is here. For Father, such has been your will from the time beyond time, before the beginning of time, when you created us and you set us upon this planet. It was for your will and your purpose, my Father. And I pray, Lord, in this night, restore unto us not just double. I pray, Father, restore in this night the God portion back to us. Father, I recall every pain, every tear, every onslaught. I recall in this night every financial attack. And I command the forces of darkness, you shall repay. You shall repay that what was stolen from the people of God. You shall give it back. For we are not fighting for victory. We're fighting from victory. And Father, I pray that your people will take a stand in this night. In the name of Jesus the Christ, the Son of the Most High God. Father, we will not climb into the ring with Satan anymore. For our Son, our God, our King, the Son, the King, the Lord, the Creator, He has won the fight 2017 years ago. And Lord, I live by the fact that it is finished. My healing is finished. My poverty is done. My debt is settled. It's settled. It's settled. It's settled. In Jesus' name. And so shall it be. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Ghost, so shall it be. In Jesus' name.